Certainly good to look out in the audience and see all of you here this morning. We appreciate your presence among us, especially those that are visiting with us. We're so thankful that you've come to be with us and invite you back anytime you may have the opportunity to join us at our services here at Market Street. If you have your Bibles along this morning, I'd like for you to take them and turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 is where we'll be looking together this morning as we study from God's Word. Hebrews chapter 12, the Hebrew writer says, the very beginning in verse 12, he says, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight the paths for your feet, lest they which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let them be healed. Follow after peace with all men and holiness, without which no man will see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man should fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many are being defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who from one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know that afterwards he would have inherited a blessing. But he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. I guess one of the saddest figures, characters in the Bible, is that of Esau. Esau. Here's a man who was the firstborn son of Isaac and Rebekah. And here he was, he had the birthright that was rightfully his. He should have had that, but he didn't. And you remember the story how that he came in and he'd been out hunting in the field, and we find this story in Genesis chapter 25. And he'd been out, and his brother, Jacob, had been in cooking as he did, and he made this red pottage. And so when he comes in, and he comes in from hunting, he's tired, he's faint. And so he smells this porridge that is being cooked, and he thinks about that. I've turned over to Genesis chapter 25, and here's what we read. It says, and Jacob saw pottage, and Esau came from the field. He was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore his name was called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said in bold, I am at the point to die. What profit is this birthright to do for me? And Jacob swears, swear unto me this day. And he sware unto him and sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave to Esau the bread and the pottage and the lentils. And he did eat and drink, and he rose up and he went his way, and Esau despised his birthright. Yeah, think about it. Here he is. He comes in, he says, I need this to eat. And he says, sell me your birthright. You know, if he had valued his birthright, he would have thought about that for a minute and said, you know, now, I don't know if I want to sell that. I'm going to eat this pottage, and I'm going to eat the bread here. I'm going to eat everything you've got fixed for me. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to eat that, and tomorrow I'm going to be hungry again. Tomorrow I'm going to be hungry. Tomorrow I'm going to be wanting more to eat again. But he didn't think like that. All he could think about was right now, what was in front of him. This morning, I want to think about the bad bargain of Esau. I want to think about this bad bargain that Esau makes. I want to think about how we look at Esau and how we see this one who knew what he had. You know, and of course, there are lots of things about this in the background of the story of Esau and Jacob that we could talk about, how that Esau was the son of Rebekah and Isaac, and Isaac loved Esau, and Rebekah loved Jacob. And we could talk about the favoritism that was given there. And we could talk about all of that. And so we could do that. By the way, I won't be using the PowerPoint this morning, so don't try to keep up with me on it. But we see a problem. We see a problem where a parent loves one child over another. We see where favoritism is shown to one over another. And we could talk about that. And we could talk about how this involved the life of Esau and Jacob and how all this was involved. But the point was, Esau had within his ability to to determine what he was going to do with his birthright. It was his possession. It belonged to him. It was nobody else's. It was within his power. And so we see where he had it. And when we look at the birthright and we think about the birthright, we understand something about the birthright. If you want to take your Bibles and turn over with me to the book of Deuteronomy, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 22. And as you turn to Deuteronomy 22, we're going to see the birthright. We're going to see what the physical advantages were for him because of the birthright that he had been given to him because he was the oldest son. Look with me in Deuteronomy chapter 22. Look with me in verse 17. It says here that a double portion was of his father's inheritance. Look with me in verse 17. And he that has given such occasion of speech against her. Well, I've been in the wrong verse. Never mind. Let's not read that verse. But the verse is that a double portion is given. I don't know where my verse is. I've lost it. A double portion. A double portion of the father's inheritance. What he had, a double portion fell to him. The point that I make is that we come over to the New Testament and we read here of another child who said, give the portion of goods that falls to me. There were two sons of a man, Luke chapter 15. You remember the story. And you remember how that he said, give me a portion. Well, what portion did he have? He only had the portion of a third. Remember, the double portion belonged to the oldest son. He got his part, which in this case would have been the third. That's what the difference was. Jacob should have gotten the third. He should have a double portion. That's physical advantages. And you know, you think about why in the world would somebody sell their birthright for a double portion and say, well, I'm going to give you the double portion and I'm going to take the third portion. And you know, we can sit there in our minds, we can constitute in our minds what this would have valued, the value of this, and we would say, man, that is a bad bargain. That was a bad mistake. That was a bad choice. He should not have done that. And as a matter of fact, we might really get excited over the fact of how much money he lost because of the decision he made. But then we think about the spiritual advantages. You know, the spiritual advantages that belonged to the person in the patriarchs who had this double portion, the one who had the birthright, they were the patriarch of the family. They were the priest of the family. This was before the law of Moses came, and so there wasn't a priestly tribe. No, within the home there were patriarchs, there were fathers, and he deserved to be the one who was in control. He was the one that was in power. He's the one who had deserved to have the control over matters in the estates of the family at the passing of his father. It was him who was a spiritual leader. But that was part of the birthright, but he didn't see that as valuable. He was ready to pass that off, the spiritual blessing. He was the chief chosen one of the family whom the blessings would come. He was the one who people would revere and say, we are of Isaac. We are of Jacob. You understand the value of that in the patriarchs. Here you would say, I am of Esau. Think about where Jacob's name falls in the lineage of the Jews. I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. That could have been Esau. I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Esau. But no, he didn't see the spiritual advantages of that. And so he despised that. He turned aside from that. And he did not value that at all. He made such a bad bargain because he chose the sensual over the spiritual. He gave into the cravings of the flesh. He gave into the cravings of what he wanted physically to nourish himself, to feel better. I mean, I can imagine. I haven't had many days that I've been real hungry, but there are a few days I've been real hungry. I remember coming in and having days where I had been out hauling hay and all day long in the dirt. You know, I mean, I'll give you one of these told stories about walking up to school in the snow and back and forth two ways. But anyway, hauling these bales that weighed, I don't know, 120 pounds, throwing them up on a truck, all that wind blowing that dirt and that dust and that hay back in your face, to where when you try to have shalava, there was no shalava. It was just grit and grime and dust in your mouth. Nothing tasted right. But man, you came in and you were famished. And as bad as things tasted and as bad as everything was, you wanted to eat. You wanted to drink. And you thought, man, I got to have it. But you know what? As bad as that is it worth eating that just to be able to live another day? To Esau, it was. To Esau, being able to have that filling physically was all he wanted. And you see, that is a bad choice. That is a bad mistake when we begin to value physical things more highly than the birthright that he was given. And he should have seen that. He should have valued it. And you know how here he is remembered, as Genesis says, he despised his birthright. But what we see about the Hebrew writer is he says what he wanted is he sought repentance, and he could not gain that, though he sought it tearfully. I think about how bad it was for him. But also, not only did he choose the sensual over the spiritual, he chose the present over the future. He chose the present over the future. And I think how he looked at his situation, and he determined that what he needed right now was more important than what he could have. And you know, a lot of times there are people that are like that. And we make decisions a lot of times based on what we see the situation right now really being. Our problem is that a lot of times we're maybe like Esau. We really don't see the whole situation for how it really is. But here we have this birthright. We see Esau. We see the bad bargain. We see the mistakes he made. And we see that. And we see how he only got the temporary pleasure. He only got the temporary result of hunger. The next day he needed food again. He didn't have the spiritual value that he would have had. No, as a matter of fact, he became a curse to the people of Egypt. He is not seen in good light whatsoever. And so we see that, and so we turn over to a passage like we turn over to here in Hebrews chapter 12, and we see the Hebrew writer says, or lest there be a profane person as Esau. A profane person, a person empty, worthless, a person like Esau. Now, we can talk all about Esau, and we can say, you know, that was bad. David, you know, that was really pretty sorry thinking of him. To go out there and sell his birthright for such a small thing and to not value that as he should, and we can talk about that. But I want to really bring the example of Esau back to us. And I want us to think about ourselves for a minute. And I want to ask a question. Are we selling our birthrights? Are we selling our birthrights? Our birthrights as Christians. Do we understand what we have is a birthright of Christian? If you will, take your Bibles and turn with me, if you will, to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And notice with me what Paul says when he writes to the churches of Galatia. Galatians chapter 3. Look with me at verse 29. Paul says, "And ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise." Do you see what he says? As a Christian, we are Christ. And as we are Christ, we are of Abraham's seed, and we are heirs according to the promise. If you will, turn back with me to the book of Romans. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Look with me there in verse 16 and 17. Where here Paul writes, he says, "The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ." Do you see what he says? The birthright we have as Christian, we are heirs. We are heirs according to the promise. We are joint heirs with Christ. We're heirs in hope of eternal life, Paul told Titus in Titus chapter 3 and verse 7. We're heirs of the kingdom that's been promised. We talk about the kingdom. We talk about that everlasting kingdom. Peter talks about in his epistle the entrance into that everlasting kingdom We're heirs of that kingdom. We are children of the King. We are people who are recipients of the riches of God, the wealth of God. We're heirs of that. Now, when I talk about the wealth of God, and we don't want to think only about the physical, but about the spiritual. Do we really see what the Bible tells us about our birthright as Christians? Do we really see how important it is that our inheritance is incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you? Peter talks about that. We see that. We read that. We understand. Do we see that that is our inheritance? Do we really see that that is what we are as heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ? Do we really see that? I hope we do. I hope we really understand the value of what it is to have that. That is our heritage, our future, our hope. Paul said, if we hope in this life only, we are of all men most miserable. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. If all we have to do in this life is to hope in this life, then we're of all men most miserable. But you see, we don't. We're heirs of something that's eternal. We're heirs of something that is sure. And we need to see that. We don't need to look at the temporary circumstances that are around us at the moment. We don't need to look at what's happening today. We don't need to listen to what somebody may have said that may not have hit me exactly right. It may have been a statement that maybe was said, and it really bothered me. And I'm going to let that turn my side from my faith in God and in Christ and His Word and His promises. I'm going to let that stop me. No, I'm not going to let that stop me. Because you see, I understand beyond the present. I understand my birthright is far more than what's happening right now and what somebody might be saying or somebody might be doing that I might not like. I'm going to have to overcome this. And I don't need to be like Esau, who sold his birthright. What a wonderful birthright is ours if we just hold on to it and hang hold and hold to the end. But I want to ask, are we making a bad bargain with our birthright? How might we sell our birthright? Well, as I think about selling our birthright, again, I go to scriptures and I see where there might have been some other people that would have sold their birthright. I'm looking back to Hebrews chapter 11 now. And when I turn back over here, I look and I see a guy by the name of Moses that is mentioned in text here. And it mentions Moses by faith. And it talks about the fact that he was hid of his parents and he was a proper child. And so anyway, it says that because he's afraid of the king's commandment. Verse 24 tells us that by faith Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God and enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know, it is possible for us to sell our birthrights by succumbing to the passing pleasures of sin. We look at what everybody else is doing. We look at how everybody else is acting. We look at how everybody else is talking. We look at how everybody else is dressing, and we look at everything, and we see all that, and we say, oh, we've got to get in style. We've got to be in step with the times. And you know, it's a real tendency on the part of people to say, I want popularity. I want people to like me. Well, you know what? I want people to like me too. There is not one person that I'm sitting here saying, I just really hope that this person will hate me. I mean, I've never walked up and seen anybody in my life that I'm sitting there saying, I hope they hate me. And you know what? I think I'm looking at a crowd this morning, probably 180 or 90 or whatever of us that are here this morning, and I'm looking at you, and as I look at you, I don't think I'm seeing one person who's sitting there saying, I really hope somebody hates me. I think I'm looking at people that want people to like them. They want to be accepted of people. And you know, that's good. But if we're not careful, it's easy for us to want to be accepted. And that becomes so much out here in our minds that we see that for the present. We see it for the present moment. And what we do is we sell our birthrights because we want to be in step. We want to be popular. We want to be accepted because of the people we're around. We cannot let that happen. We cannot allow that to happen. And that's what it says. The Hebrew writer says, by faith, Moses didn't do that. He was around the people of Egypt. And what did he do? He said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to forsake the riches of Egypt. I'm going to enjoy the affliction with the people of God. He did not despise his birthright when it would have been very easy for Moses to have done so. Sometimes it may be that we lust for the things of the world. I just want more stuff. It's just something I like to have. You know, I collect whatever it is I collect. I mean, I got books. You look at my office, I go, if I can just get more books, well, if I can just take this book, you know, this guy's got 1,000 books. He doesn't know. He'll never miss it. I sure would like to have it. Or maybe it's not that. Maybe I want something to play with. I want some toy. I want some gadget. I want maybe some house. I want something that I want. Somebody else has got it and I want it too. Well, I don't have the money to buy it. Well, if I get another job, work a second job, work, you know, 16 hours a day for the next 5 years, only sleep 3 hours a day, and try to do the rest of the stuff I've got to do in the next 4 hours, of the time that I'm not driving back and forth to work, that I believe I can handle this, I can buy it. Oh, while you're doing all that, where is the time for your spiritual growth? Where is the time for your spiritual work? It's not there. That doesn't become a focus of your life. And then you ask the question, am I selling my birthright? Am I selling it? See, it's really easy for us to do things, and we don't think about it. We don't think about how that may be, but that may be exactly what we're doing. Or, you know, there may be some lust of the flesh. You know, the lust of the flesh there in Galatians chapter 5, they talk about the works of the flesh are these. And we enumerate down that list, and we give in to some of those things that are lust that we have, desires of the flesh, and we don't put those things to death. And you know, we all struggle with different things. They all struggle differently with different things. Nobody struggles the same way with the same thing. I understand all that. But we need to understand what our struggle is, and we need to deal with it. And we don't need to sit there and say, well, this is just what I have to deal with. So it'll be okay. Just a little bit. Just a little bit of alcohol won't hurt anybody. Just a little bit. Just a little bit of pornography won't hurt anybody. Just a little bit. We could go down the list. Just a little bit of flirting with somebody other than my wife won't hurt. It's just a little bit. Are we selling our birthrights? We need to make sure we are not making a bad bargain. We might sell our birthrights by doing these things, and we might do this and all the while think we're doing okay. I think about Esau, how he did it, and maybe at the moment he didn't think about what he was doing. I don't know how long it was till he figured out what he had done, but somewhere along the way he figured out what he had done. Back to our text. Verse 17, and you know that afterward he would have inherited a blessing, and he was rejected, though he found no place for repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. What we need to do is we need to make sure we don't fall into that category. We need to be people that follow after peace with all men, holiness, with which we may see the Lord. We need to pursue peace and holiness. We need to make sure that we don't fall short of the glory of God. And we need to exercise godliness in our lives, in our discipline. And we need to lay hold on that birthright. And we need to hold it firm and hold it tight. and not sell our birthright and make the mistake of depreciating and devaluing the birthright that we have as children of God. Because one day we will stand in judgment. We will stand before God as to how we've handled our birthright. And we will be judged according to that. And though we may seek it with tears and crying, there will be no place for repentance for that then. We will be like Esau. May we learn the lessons of Esau and not make the bad bargain that Esau made. Maybe that you're here this morning in any way subject to the invitation of Christ. You need to come this morning repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ, Son of God, to begin that walk with Him, to become an heir, a joint heir with Christ. Then do that. Enjoy the birthright that is given to you by becoming a child of His. If we can assist you this morning, making your life what it ought to be, let us know how we can help you. While we stand and sing, won't you come?